I have to say, it's very special to have Dr. Kwan with us today because it wasn't planned that you would come on Education Sunday. It was a divine appointment. And for me, it's very special to have the new dean of my seminary here on this day because as we look at Education Sunday, I reflect back on some of my own educational experiences. And I think back to when I first graduated seminary a number of years ago. I left Madison in December and moved back to Pennsylvania. And I think I shared with you recently that I went back to serve a two-point charge, which is two churches. I would preach at one church and then drive a windy country road to another church. These were in a very rural setting. And I wasn't home very long, only a week or so before I began my ministry in those two churches. I still had all the finals and the papers and everything I was doing in seminary fresh in my mind. And when I went to these two churches, I had with me a toolbox that was full of theology, exegesis, and hermeneutics. I was ready. And I went to these two wonderful churches with beautiful people, and I realized very quickly I felt very ill-equipped to care for some of the needs and to do all the things I needed to do, like trustees meetings and funerals and even to navigate disputes that would come up at church council. Very quickly, I began to miss the people who had taught me and the community that had nurtured me, and I realized pretty quickly that I was experiencing my own sense of separation anxiety. It came from a sense of no longer feeling supported or well equipped to be where I was because all of the knowledge that I had pursued and accrued over 3 years was right here. And what people were interested in was something that flowed from a different place. It was after a few months that I realized that if I let go of the sense of separation from the community and the things that nurtured me, that I needed to reconnect with something. I needed to connect with a source, no longer be separated. Once I began to let go of my expectations and to go with the flow and to minister with the people, to listen to their stories and to experience their life and experiences, I began to feel reconnected to the Spirit. And I began ministry to flow in a different way as the things that I had learned in my education began to descend from my mind into my heart. Separation anxiety, I know, is a very real phenomenon, and I don't want to diminish it. But I believe that it can also be a spiritual state, that many of us at times in our lives can feel separated from God. And this separation anxiety isn't easily named or isn't even always on the surface, but it can often be manifested in anxiousness or a sense of lack of purpose. We can feel alienated or even frustrated or upset in our lives because we feel separated from something that connects us to the living God. I believe separation anxiety is what the disciples themselves were being faced with in the passage, the story that we see today. Today's also Ascension Sunday. The Gospel of Luke tells us that Jesus was with his disciples for one last conversation before he was to ascend to God. He would no longer be with them in bodily form. He was trying to prepare the disciples for what lay ahead of them in their life and their ministry. Now remember, these disciples, they gave up everything that they had. They left their parents, probably the fishermen, who left their dad abandoned on the boat, he probably wasn't interested in giving them a job again. They had burned bridges. They had left all they had for 3 years to be students of this rabbi, this teacher. They walked with him. They watched him heal. They watched him teach. They watched him do crazy things, risky things, and they risked their lives in the process. They witnessed him be arrested, and they also watched him be put to death. Worried and scared, they gathered in a place, and Jesus once again appeared with them, and now they're brought to this city of Jerusalem in which they're meeting with Jesus one more time. I can imagine how their heads must have been spinning because of everything that they had gone through and experienced. Jesus is talking to them one last time, and he says, "Don't you see? Look back. Go back to your textbooks. Go back to your experiences. Think of everything that we've done in the last 3 years. Don't you remember? Doesn't it make sense now? Remember when I told you 2 years ago at the River of Galilee or the Sea of Galilee that this was going to happen? And you scratched your heads and you said, 'What in the world is he talking about?' Remember? This all had to happen so that you and the world could be healed of your deep wounds and sinfulness. I told you about this all along." Jesus was helping to make the connections of all they had seen and experienced, and he said, "I know that you are hurting. I know that you will feel a sense of separation because I will not be with you, but I'm not going to leave you orphaned." Jesus said that he would leave his Spirit, God's Spirit, to be present with them. And after that, he led them out of the room, off to the hillside, which is on the other side of Jerusalem and Bethany. And Jesus left them in bodily form. The last thing Jesus said to them before he ascended was not "go." In another gospel, the Gospel of John, Jesus says before he leaves them, "Go." But in this passage, Jesus says, "Wait. Wait. Go back into the city of Jerusalem and wait there until you are clothed with power, until you receive my Spirit, and then go." We know from the other gospel that the Great Commission is given to go into all the world and make disciples of Jesus Christ, baptizing and healing in his name. But Jesus tells the disciples who had experienced all this to go and to wait, and then their lives would be transformed. The sense of separation and anxiety that I believe that they must have been feeling or preparing themselves for is a spiritual condition that each of us, at one point or time in our lives, I believe, have to deal with or we have to face. It happens anytime where we lose our sense of purpose, we lose our sense of identity rooted in God, or we lose our sense of community. When we become separated from God, we no longer know why it is that we are called to do what we do. And so we pursue fulfillment from so many things: success, money, entertainment, family. Fill in the blanks. When we are separated from God, our anxiety, which doesn't necessarily come to the surface, it happens at a deep soul, spiritual level, and it causes us to be restless. But Jesus called his disciples, who were about to face their own sense of separation, into a new season. I want you to hear me on this. Jesus' disciples' entire identity was wrapped up and defined, and we know them only up to this point as students. They were tax collectors, they were fishermen, they were other professions, but the very word that we call them, disciples, identified them as perpetual or eternal students. The word in German that they use for disciples is Kinder, the same in kindergarten, children. The disciples are always called children of Jesus. And it almost diminishes their role or always puts them in a subservient role of following and learning. That the disciples were constantly identified by their student relationship with Jesus. But in this passage, we see that the teacher is just about to leave the students. What in the world are they going to do? They no longer have the rabbi to give them the answers. They no longer have the teacher to tell them what to do. They no longer have the healer to heal the sick. They're by themselves. They're on their own. They have to go out into the scary world, which is angry at them and seeks to bring them harm, and they have to do it themselves. Jesus called them to come together in the holy city, because Jesus knew that there was something special that happens once we graduate. Now, I would say to you that the ascension of Jesus Christ was about as much of a graduation that the disciples got of their tutorship, because they were no longer in the classroom, they were no longer with the teacher, but they themselves would become the teachers. Now think about it. This broken group of scared, betraying, denying, doubting disciples would become the foundation of the Christian church in this world. After Jesus' ascension, they would have to travel to places like India and Europe and all over the Middle Eastern region, preaching and healing and teaching. They were mess-ups. They didn't always get A's. They didn't always pass the tests. But Jesus knew that if he would always be with them, that they would always be defined simply as students. But they were called to be practitioners of faith. Practice what you preach, right? That's what we say. I want to talk just for a quick moment on this word, practice. Being a musician, married to a doctor, I'm intrigued by the different understandings of this word practice, because in the sense of music or in the arts, it's a very important concept. Practice is how you get good for your performance. You don't want to get in front of 500 people and practice. You want to do that the night before. You want to do that in the morning before your performance. Practice is how you go over something over and over until you get it right. Now, when I go to the doctor, I don't know that I want that person messing up so that they can get good for another performance. The word practice, I've always found this curious. The word practice, when it comes to professional disciplines like law or medicine, it's used as well. People practice dentistry, or they practice law, or they practice orthodontics. Well, I don't want to sit in that chair if they don't have it right. So why in the world is the same word used for practice both in the discipline and in the perfection sense? Here's my thought. Practice for a musician is a way that you get what is in your head knowledge, to descend into your heart and your voice and your fingers. I have to say, throughout my years of playing this beautiful instrument, it's those times when I have spent hours and hours and hours and hours practicing that my hands begin to know things that my mind doesn't know. There are times when I've been in a long period of practice that I'll play and I'll say, "Wow, you hands, you really got it down." And the opposite, of course, is true, that there are times when I haven't practiced and I know what to do and my hands have forgotten. They've lost their edge. Well, the same is true for the disciplines like law and medicine, is that they are so complex and that they require such rigorous attention to detail that it's not something that you can put on a shelf and take out and do well. You constantly have to be in a rhythm. You constantly have to be staying up on the most current information. You have to constantly be doing it. Kimberly always tells me you don't want a neurosurgeon who only operates one day a week. You want someone who is constantly in the rhythm, constantly doing it, so that what we know in our mind descends into our heart. I believe practice is the same in our faith. We practice what we know to be true. As disciples, we are disciples, just like the disciples in the passage, we are to constantly be in a cycle of practicing what we come here to profess. We don't just read the words in the bulletin, but we begin to live it out so that it doesn't become dull, so that it doesn't become empty words. We are to practice what we preach. We are to practice what we believe so that our hearts begin to fill up even more than our heads. This constant cycle of learning and doing and teaching is made very real to me as I think back to when Kimberly was first doing her medical residency in the hospital. She would always come home and talk to me about a phrase, "See one, do one, teach one." I don't know if you've heard this phrase, Dr. Off. I don't know if, if you use see one, do one, teach one, but it refers to when you're in a medical residency, that when you first see a procedure, and then after you've seen it a time or two or three, the next time you do it. And as you are doing it, you know that the next time you do it, you have to teach someone. You're constantly in a cycle of seeing something, knowing and expecting that you're not just observing it, but you're going to have to do it, and later you're going to have to teach it to someone else. It's how you get things to move from the mind to the heart, to the mouth, to the hands. Sisters and brothers, today we celebrate Christian Education Sunday. Christian education is not about dropping off your kids to Sunday school. Christian education is not about going to a class once a week. But Christian education is about living out your faith in practice so that we are not only teachers and followers, but we are also practitioners, learning and doing and teaching. I have to say, you saw the good-looking group up here, right? You saw our first graders who got Bibles. You see each week Pastor Brenda who comes up here. None of them are talkers only. This church is a church, I'm excited to say, that is committed to education. Amen?
Amen.
My guess is that there's a good chance that you are in this church because of the Christian program, Christian education program, in one way or another. Amen? As Christian disciples, we are called to constantly be in a cycle of seeing, learning, and doing. And what that means is that we're not only learning from people who are older than us and ahead of us, but we are also open to see what God is doing from the least of these, the people who are younger than us. And we are also not only students, but we are to be teachers and practitioners. That means that we are always investing in the people around us. We're not doing it because it's a good thing to do and because church needs Sunday school teachers. We're doing it so that our own faith begins to descend from our mind and to our heart. Let's go back to the separation anxiety piece. The disciples were about to be lost. They were about to be leaderless. They were about to be alone. The only way for them to overcome their sense of separation is to reconnect by becoming the living Christ in the world. Amen? The only way for us to overcome our separation from God is to become active learners, doers, and teachers in the world. Amen?
Amen.
Think about your normal rhythm. Think about your rhythm of life. What in your life is being challenged right now? What in your life is being sharpened? And who are you teaching? Christian education in the church isn't just about attending or teaching a Sunday school class. It's about living out our faith in a rhythm that is helping us to grow along with our life experiences, and that we must at all times be teaching others in our process. Sisters and brothers, see one, do one, teach one. Open your eyes to what God is teaching you. Engage it. Share it with others and help them on their journey, teaching them all the way. Amen. Will you pray with me? God of all grace and peace, we give you thanks for this beloved community, where we are committed to living out and practicing the faith that you have given us. Help us, God, to be learning in all ways and places and times, and so that we may become practitioners living out your faith in this world to heal those who are wounded. God, help us at all times to be reaching up and to be reaching down to teach those around us. God of grace, grant us your strength and peace. Amen.